I also want to affirm just what the Lord was saying through Morgan there. I really do believe that it's about not being afraid, or at least what one of the things that the Lord is ministering to us today is, don't be afraid to seek after him. Don't be afraid to come into his presence. Don't be afraid of him in that way, like where the fear keeps you from him. I really believe that that's the heart of what the Lord was ministering there. If he was ministering other things to you as an individual, it's awesome. I'm not pushing that aside at all. But this place of don't be afraid of him, and don't be afraid to come into his presence. Yeah, it's good. So good. I want to continue on with a little bit of what we were talking about last week. And the Lord has been ministering some really neat things to me this week. And I shared a little bit on Tuesday at the Bible study. And I'm going to read some verses about seeking the Lord. There are a number of passages, and I referenced some of them last week. One being one of my favorites is in Psalm 27, where our heart says of him, seek his face, and your face will I seek. And to just continually seek the presence of the Lord, don't hide your face from me, and seek his face always. And if my people will seek my face, and one thing I'll ask, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord forever. In your presence is the fullness of joy. Just, I've been meditating on these things, and we're going to get to where, again, that I love that Lindsay has been brought into our lives, and we talked with her last week, not this past week, but the week before, and we just said, hey, we'd love to have you back, you know, just move back here. But just like, what does that look like? Give me a practical example. What does it look like to seek God then? Just because we toss it around and we use that, and it's a biblical phrase, it's biblical, but what does it actually mean to seek God? And I just want to read a few other verses before we get fully into that. So I'm just going to jump around here a little bit. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. I'm going to back up to verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Oh, it's so good. You will seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. We know that our heart is our mind, our will, our emotions, our choices. Matthew chapter 7 affirms this. Jesus talking in the Sermon on the Mount. And chapter 7, verse 7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened unto you. And then in the Luke passage, which is Luke 11, it goes on, you know, it talks about fathers giving good gifts, but then it goes on to how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And so really it's seeking him. Because we are given him. He gives himself. And so we seek him. And we will find him. Matthew 6, verse 33. Now, this is in the context of God providing our daily needs, our clothing, our shelter, our food, all these things. But I think we can apply it to also, just biblically speaking, further than that as well. But it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. But our seeking is first and foremost his kingdom and his righteousness. And really, again, the greatest thing about his kingdom is him. Like, he is, if you will, this is a little bit of philosophical kind of thing, but he is his kingdom. Like, He is the kingdom. Again, we've talked about before, wherever God promises us something, he always gives himself. Oh, you're praying for healing? I will give you myself. I am the healing. I am the healer and the healing. You pray for joy? Well, I am joy. You pray for life? I am life. You pray for a clear path? Well, I am the path. All these things. He gives himself over and over and over again. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Isaiah 55. Yeah, I'm going to go there first. Isaiah 55 verses. I'm going to read 1-7 actually. Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what's not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good. Eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, that your soul may live. Your soul may live, right? I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon the nations you know not, and nations that know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. And let the wicked forsake his ways and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he'll have mercy on him, and to our God, and he will freely pardon. Now, I understand that this passage is talking specifically to Israel, but I think the principle is applied, can be applied to all of us, Gentile and Jew, Israel or other nations, families, people groups, individuals, all of it. But seek me while I may be found. Seek me with your whole heart, it says in Jeremiah. And then it gives not just hints, but it shows us what that means. Let the wicked person turn from their wickedness. Matthew 6, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Romans 2:7 also gives a little bit of insight into this, what seeking looks like. Romans 2:7. To those... I'll start in verse 5. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, interesting, you are storing up wrath for yourself and for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. And then he goes on to talk about, but those who are self-seeking and reject the truth and they follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. But again, to those who seek, to those who through persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. We know, according to John 17, we've mentioned it many times before, eternal life is not just living forever and ever and ever. That's immortality. We're seeking immortality. Yes, that's good. We want to live forever. But eternal life, according to John 17, is the knowledge of God. To know God and to know Christ, that is eternal life. That is what we're seeking. How do we seek? We seek by persisting in doing good. Seek his righteousness. Turn away from wickedness. Do what he has called us to do. Walk out what we know we are called to walk out. Walk on his path. He is the path. He is the path. In Isaiah, the verses that I read, eat what is good. Don't eat what is bad. Verse 7, forsake wickedness. How do we seek the Lord? Yes, we seek him in prayer. And we even read a few verses there about prayer. We seek him in prayer. Oh God, show yourself to me. Oh God, I want to see you. Oh God, reveal your face to me. Prayer is amazing. And we need to seek him in prayer. And I challenge you to seek him in prayer. I challenge you. I was going to, last week, obviously we got going late, but I wanted to show a testimony, and it's online, and it just happens to be Andrew's testimony, but he's not here right now. So I'll just talk about it a little bit because it's online. It's public knowledge. I don't have to ask permission because he put it out there for all the world to see. And if you want to see it yourself, it's on his Facebook page. Just go into his Facebook and scroll down. He doesn't post very much, so I'm sure it's near the top still. But he talks about how the Lord has just put it on his heart to spend time in prayer, to just spend more concentrated time in prayer. And so the Lord has led him, or maybe, I don't know, I haven't talked to him about it necessarily, where did the Lord lead you down this road, or did you decide? I think it's a bit of both probably. Every evening before 10:30 or right at 10:30 at the latest, he says goodnight. And this is weird, it's not weird anymore, but understand that Andrew needs the least sleep out of our whole family. He seems to be able to do with a little amount of sleep, so often he would go to bed later. But lately, 10:30, he's like, good night. And on his testimony, he says that he is committing this time between 10:30 and 11, because he gets up early for the next day's work, and he works hard, so he needs his sleep and that, and he does get tired, but he spends that half an hour in prayer, interceding. It's just like, oh, first of all, it does dad's heart good, right? But this commitment to seek the Lord and to walk out his gifting, and I know he has a gift of intercession as well. He is we're all called to pray, but he has a calling to pray, if you will. But I challenge you, seek the Lord in prayer. I put it out on Facebook too, to seek the Lord in getting in his word, reading. And I don't want it just to be a Sunday school kind of thing. Yeah, read the Bible and pray, you know, but really read the Bible and pray. It's like I said on Facebook there, if you take 20 minutes, if you read 6 to 7 pages of your Bible a day, if your Bible is my size, mine has 1,145 pages in it of Scripture. Well, and actually, two of those pages, or three of them, are the blank pages in between the New Testament and the Old Testament, so you can take those off. And then a bunch, like the page ends with, or it just has a few words on it, and then the chapter ends. So, but if you read 6 to 7 pages of the Bible a day, you can read through the Bible in 6 months. And then if you do like I do, and this is just me, I'm not saying, but you know, when it gets to the genealogies and some of that stuff, like Chronicles, for the first like 8 chapters, I just glance through those, you know, because all the names that I can't pronounce anyways. And but if you read 6 to 7 pages a day, you can read through the Bible in 6 months. And I believe in slowing down and reading the Bible, chewing on it, chewing on a paragraph, a section, and really taking your time. But there is also just a seeking the Lord and spending time in his word. You read through the Psalms. David, a man after God's own heart, he knew the Lord. He got to know the Lord, and he loves God. He loved God's word. You can see it in the Psalms. I love your word. I love your word. I love your word. The Word of God, through his Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of Christ, and that's what the Holy Spirit, that's one of the names of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, capital W, Jesus, spoke through the Spirit of Christ to inspire people to write the Word of God, and we see God revealed in his Word. Get in the Word. I would challenge you in this. Spend 20 minutes a day reading the word, at the very least. That's not a lot. And spend 15 minutes a day in a row, like where you string it together, because there's something about it when you just start spending time praying, in prayer. Not as a legalistic thing, and I'm not, but like there is a power in it. I just want to encourage you in that. That's not what I want to concentrate on today, but that's like our choices make a difference. Seek him, seek him, seek him. Getting in the word and prayer is a part of that. But I want to concentrate today on the righteousness aspect. So I was meditating on this. Yesterday I was out in the field just praying, and it really started to hit me where seeking the Lord, what does it look like? I want to see you, God. I want to see you. I want to see you and be changed by you in my marriage. I want to see you and be changed by you in my family and my friendships. I want to see you and be changed by you in the church and in the community and at the workplace and different things. I want to see you, Lord. What does it look like? And just this reality of choosing righteousness. And it hit me, like this picture came, because he is on the path of righteousness. So you want to see the Lord, you want to find him because we seek him so that we can find him, right? Seek him on the path that he's walking. Seek him on the path that he's walking. Maybe it's really simple to you, but it just started blowing my mind. So we seek him in love. I'm going to walk out love because I know that's the path that Jesus is on. Jesus is on the path of love, and so I'm going to walk out love. Jesus is on the path of forgiveness. You're talking about forgiveness this morning. Jesus is on that path. Do you know that? He is that path, and he's on that path. He might be further down the path than you are, and so just keep on walking this path, and oh, where's Jesus? He's on this path of forgiveness. Just keep walking it, and you'll run into him. You'll catch up to him. He's on this path. Keep seeking him. Keep choosing to forgive. Keep choosing to forgive. Keep choosing to forgive. You know what path he's not on? Unforgiveness. I'm going to walk this path of unforgiveness. Well, Jesus isn't on that path. You're not going to find him on that path. Oh, I'm walking out bitterness. Jesus isn't on bitterness path. He doesn't walk that path. He calls out to people on that path. And he'll reach out to people on that path to try and draw them over to forgiveness and peace. But he doesn't walk that path of bitterness. He doesn't walk path of worry and anxiety. He's not on that path. I'm looking for Jesus. You're on the wrong path. If you're choosing anxiety, you're on that wrong path. If you're choosing just to worry and mull over things over and over and over again, you're on the wrong path, because he's not on that path. You know the path he is on? Peace. Yeah, but I'm not walking in peace. Choose to walk in peace. You choose it. Okay, I give it over to you again, Lord, because what does that look like? I give it over to you again, Lord. I give it over to you again. You know, Jesse talks about fear. And we want to be that covering over him, but he's got choices to make too. When those thoughts come, and I don't know what kind of thoughts. I know that he hasn't actually talked to us a lot about that. Has he talked to you about that a little bit? No? Well, we'll have to grill him at lunch. But like, it's this place of, okay, what does that look like? And I know that, okay, so I'm going to be real, right? We've had to walk that out, and we've talked a little bit about it, but we've had to walk that out. And even some of the stuff that God's revealing to me as we were worshiping and as we were praying over Jesse, and I got to pass it by Carlene first, but like, it's like, ooh, interesting. I've had to walk out fears. As a parent, do you know, like, okay, this is a little bit into our parenting, the way we've dealt with some things, but do you know that, I don't know how much you, again, we haven't talked about it too much. We've talked about it a little bit. I'll just speak from my perspective then. I've given up each of my children to martyrdom. If that's what the Lord would choose. It's like, Lord, they're yours. Oh, what if Jesse's going to South Africa and we have people, he has people at his workplace. You're going to die over there. Do you know what's going on over in that part of the world? And my thing to Jesse, as Jesse brings that to me, is like, has the Lord called you to go there? Yeah, then you go. And if you come back, you come back. If you don't, you don't. We'll weep, don't get me wrong, not hard and callous and cold, but But it's this place of, oh, Lord, he belongs to you. We are your servants. This life is a breath. That's how I deal with fear. Because the enemy wants to bring fear to my life, whether it's through other people. Well, it's always often through other people. Like, aren't you worried, Kevin? No. You should be. And then trying to make me feel guilty for not worrying. You should feel guilty. If you're a good parent, you'll feel guilty. It's like, that doesn't make any sense, biblically speaking. And so with each of my children, it's like, Lord, they belong to you. Yes, I want them to live. Yes, I want them to have great lives. Yes, I want them to flourish and prosper. And I want grandchildren and eventually great-grandchildren. And yeah, I want all of that. I want them to live close. I would love all my kids to just live right here in, you know, Niagara-on-the-Lake, somewhere. Not too close, you know, and I'm sure they would feel the same way, you know, not... You know, what's the old saying? You shouldn't see the smoke coming from your parents' chimney or whatever. Okay, that's fine. But as long as we can drive there, and that's fine. As long as we're close. Yeah, I'm looking at Kels right now. It's like, I'm not saying that's biblical. I'm not saying, you know. Yeah, you don't have a fireplace, so you're fine. You're fine. As a dad, I would love it. We're already starting to mourn a little bit that, like, the guys are all going to be gone soon. Their house passed inspection. They're taking possession this Thursday, you know? And it's like, yay, kind of, because they've been waiting 4 months, but it's like, oh. And it's, but I give those things over to the Lord. I choose to yield them to God. And as I've prayed through these things and thought through, I don't ignore them. That's not a way to deal with it. You don't ignore it. You look at it head on and say, God, I give this to you. And so, Lord, I give Jesse to you, and I want him to prosper. But if it's your plan, we give him to you, and we say, yes, Lord. And we will weep and all these things if that would happen. But we give him over to you. But I will not walk the path of worry. Why? Because Jesus isn't on that path. I will not walk a path of fear. Why? Jesus isn't on that path. And I seek his face. I want to be with him. I want to walk with him. My heart keeps on saying to me, seek his face. And I have made the decision, your face will I seek, O Lord. He's not on those paths. He's not on the path of bitterness. He's not on the path of selfishness. He's not on the path of pride. He's not on the path of selfish ambition, worldly ambition. He's not on the path of chasing after riches. He's not on the path of prestige and reputation. He's on the path of humility. He's on the path of kindness. He's on the path of gentleness. He's on the path of holiness and purity. And so I will seek him on those paths. Well, how? I will choose to walk that out. I will choose to walk it out because I know you're on this path somewhere, Lord. And he says, I am the path. Oh, yeah. Okay. And then the second part, though, of this. Seek me and you will find me. And again, I hear Lindsay, what does it mean to find the Lord? We're Christians. We have the Lord. We have the Spirit of God living in us. What does it mean for us as believers to find the Lord? Okay, so this is, I can't give you chapter and verse for this. So this is kind of Kevin talking here, and you can let the Holy Spirit minister it to you and test whether what I'm saying is true or not. I believe that finding the Lord, I said on Tuesday, where do we find the Lord? And I said, you will find him in the mirror. Now, I do not mean that we will become Jesus, okay? And there's wacky theology out there where some people go down that path and you know, we're not going to become God or gods or whatever. Like, no, that's not what I mean. But you know how we say to different people, I see Jesus in you? And sometimes we've even said of ourselves, you walk through a situation, you know, it got all tense at work. It was really weird. Like, and there's a fight started and everything, but the peace of God, like I just started speaking peace and I wasn't afraid at all. And I did this. I can't believe it. What was that? And it's like, that was Jesus. Yeah, I know. He was awesome. Yeah. That's finding Jesus. Seek me and you will find me. To find Jesus is this place of you start walking out what you know his character is, what the scriptures reveal. You just walk it out without even trying. It becomes supernaturally natural to you. If you're trying, and I believe there is a place for trying, we mentioned even on Tuesday, we went through some verses where in the Bible study then, where it says, purify yourself. So we are called to purify ourselves. We are called to seek the Lord. We are called to, Paul talks about struggling with all of his energy. It's with all of his energy, but we struggle. We choose. If you are choosing, for instance, okay, if you are choosing to forgive someone, like where it's like, they wronged me, but I'll forgive them. And you're truly forgiving them, walking that out. Praise God, that's a beautiful thing. But here's the reality, you're still seeking the Lord in forgiveness. You're still seeking him, which is great. It's a great place to be. But you haven't found him yet in it. Don't beat yourself up for that. He's on that path. Just keep going. Just keep going. Yeah, he's a little up there. Just keep walking it out. Walk out forgiveness. Walk out forgiveness. Walk out forgiveness. You know when you've found him is when someone wrongs you and you forgive them without even hesitating or without even choosing it. And someone suggests to you, wow, you're amazing. You forgave that person so easily. And you respond, what other... Like, how else would I have walked that out? That does. Oh, you're talking about not forgiving them? Like, how could I ever do that? That just doesn't make any sense. People will come up to me, and some do already, and I know that we're going to have conversations with people already. Some people who are very close in our lives and that. Aren't you afraid about Jesse going to South Africa? No. Why would I be? I don't understand. But then I try and, oh yeah, you're still seeking God in not fearing. And I have to actually sometimes remind people, like, you shouldn't walk in fear. Like, don't walk in fear. Don't walk in worry. Don't walk in anxiety. But I have to remember that, like, because it's just not a way I live anymore. It's just not there. I have actually, I can say, I pray without pride or anything, but I can say, I have found the Lord in peace. I sought him, and I have found him. Because it doesn't even occur to me to worry. I've mentioned before where about 10 years ago now, because it was 2009, in January, Randy Friesen and I had a conversation. Randy Friesen is the director of Multiply with the MB Conference, and we were missionaries with what was called MB Mission at that time. And the Lord was working in me to bring peace into my life. Up until that moment, up until 10 years ago, I did not know peace. I did not understand peace. I was worried all the time. I was worried about my future. I was trying to figure things out all the time, trying to figure out what's going on, what God's doing, why is this, why is that, all this. And I was just, my emotions were just woohoo, whirlwind, fluttering around, everything. And yet God started working on me in the fall of 2008. We met with Randy in the spring or January, February, I think, of 2009. I shared with him, this is what God's doing in my life. And he was like, that is great. You're not there yet, but that's great. And I said, I know I'm not there. I know. I know I don't walk in that peace yet, but I'm closer than I've ever been. It's like I'm walking on the path and I was choosing peace. So what that looks like is whenever I would walk in anxiety, I would confess it to God. God, I'm doing it again. Forgive me. Set me free. I read your word. I read all these passages that talk about I'm not supposed to be anxious about anything. I accept that. I believe it. I'm not going to make excuses for myself. So this is seeking it out, right? Choosing not to voice it to others, my anxiety, choosing not to all over other people with my anxiety, you know, choosing to just have it between me and the Lord, not giving it air, if you will, not feeding it. Okay, that's how I was walking this out. And then God starts moving in me and I feel myself getting closer. Hey, I see him. There he is. I'm seeking Jesus on the path of peace. There he is. I see him. And I'm getting closer and closer. And he's got his arms wide open to me saying, yeah, come here. Come here. I want to envelop you in peace. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. Don't worry. Come here. I'll show you. And then Randy Friesen gives me the passage in the Psalms. Well, if any of you struggle with peace, this is a passage for you. Psalm 131, my heart is not proud, O Lord, my eyes are not haughty. I do not, and this is part of the choosing, I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. That's how you start walking it out. You choose. I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to think about what might happen to Jesse. Why? Because it's too big for me. It's too wonderful for me. Oh, you're not being responsible. What do you mean I'm not being responsible? That doesn't make any sense. Does it help him at all to worry? Does it help him at all to be anxious? Does it help him at all to go through all the scenarios that could happen? No. I just know this. The Lord has led him to South Africa. He affirms that. We as his parents can affirm it, that this is what God has for him. And God will go with him. God is with him and he has a calling on his life. There you go. That's what I concern myself with. I don't start concerning myself with things too big for me, things above my pay grade. No, that's up to God. That's on God's table. That's his stuff. Okay? But then verse 2, but I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord both now and forevermore. And then there's a number of passages in the Psalms that where David is actually talking to his soul. Be still, my soul. It's like David's schizophrenic. He's talking to himself. But he's commanding his own soul, be still. That's how you walk it out. That's how you choose it. That's part of the seeking. And I would do that in the name. I would do it like I go after demons sometimes. Like, in the name of Jesus, be quiet, soul. Settle down. Like, almost like you're talking to a child. Settle down right now. You're going to be quiet. I don't want to be quiet. You're going to be quiet. That's it. I've heard enough of you. Sit down. Shh. But what if Jesse? Shh. But it's a dangerous. Shh. Quiet. In July of that year, 2009, I caught up with Jesus on that path of peace. And he covered me in his peace, like with that coat. He just put peace on me. And except for the occasional misstep of mine where I start wandering off the path and Jesus is like, woohoo, where are you going? I'm over here. Oh yeah, sorry, Lord. And I get back on the path. Except for those few missteps, I've known peace for the last 10 years. So much so that I forget what it's like not to walk in peace. And I don't even choose it anymore. I don't choose it because I've found it. You don't keep seeking what you've found. Once you find it, you've found it. So we keep seeking the Lord in whatever area. We seek him in love. We seek him in repentance. We seek him in forgiveness. We seek him in forgiving others. We seek him in purity. We seek him in peace with all our heart. We make good choices after good choice after good choice after good choice. And I guarantee you, as you seek him in prayer and seek him in worship and all these things combined together, you will find him. You will find him when you seek him with all your heart. It's a guarantee from the Lord. It's a promise. And the place where you'll find him is in the mirror. You'll see it. You'll see him in you, which he already is. But you'll see him bursting through your soul. I sometimes, quote unquote, look at myself and try and remember what it was like, you know, 12 years ago when I didn't walk in peace, 15 years ago. I can't remember. And I look at the peace that God has brought, you know, again, staring in the mirror, not literally, but I guess you could do that too if you want, but the absolute peace in my eyes, because I know it's there. It's like, that's Jesus. That's certainly not natural Kevin. It's Jesus. I found him in that area. Now there's other areas where I'm still seeking him. And I'm catching up, if you will, or I'm getting close. Even in the area I've mentioned a few times before, insecurity, right? I'm getting closer. I don't know if my wife notices necessarily, because I still, you know, she gets the brunt of that misstep of mine and that failure, or I don't know what to call it, but like, yeah, just the... I can see him from here. I can feel his confidence starting to build in me, holy confidence, which has nothing to do, like there's no pride in it. And again, it has to do with anxiety too, which is interesting, but I love it. I keep trying to choose, I choose, I choose, I choose. When you seek him, you will find him. And then eventually, I want to pray this. I want to be able to say this fully one day, where Paul says it in Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. I want to be able to say, just like Jesus did once when they asked, show us the Father. I want to be able to say, when people say, just show me your Jesus. And I'll just say, look at what he's done in me. Look past this and see him living his life in me. Oh, I can't say that yet. I can say parts, but are there any questions or comments? I see my wife reaching for the microphone there.
Yeah, I'm just reminded of something else that I learned yesterday at this ladies' conference, and the lady pointed out that sometimes it would appear like a normal person can choose these things easier, choose God's ways easier, but she gave her testimony coming from someone who's was diagnosed with clinical depression when she was in her 40s, and then just a couple years ago now, add on to that, post-traumatic stress disorder and a mood disorder or something. Anyway, and how, like, she's been a speaker for decades and already sharing her testimony, but even a couple years ago, she was one of the speakers and at a few-day-long thing, and in the midst of that, she had thoughts of suicide and and knew it was wrong. And so what I'm getting at is sometimes we think if we've been diagnosed with something wrong, bad within us, that it's just too hard. She said it is hard. Like, it is really hard. But it's what Kevin is saying about choice. Mm-hmm. And like, we are saved in our spirit when we accept Christ, but we are continuing to work out our salvation in our soul, which includes our will. And it's a choice to surrender that thought again to God. And so she used the word surrender more. So I surrender all.
Yeah.
And it's every time. And it's not easy. And then for her, like, she still has these things, and she's on
medication
as well to help focus, because mm-hmm. if she hasn't been on medication, she probably would have committed suicide or would, I don't know. Like, it's just, like she said, with the medication, she's able to focus her thoughts and stuff. And so, yeah, all that to say, yeah, maybe, you know, Kevin is somewhat normal. But
thanks, dear. That's a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Maybe, like, he's somewhat normal.
Like, he hasn't been diagnosed with a mental illness or something. And a lot of people are having these diagnoses of mental illness in some degree or whatever. But whatever it is, God is bigger and greater, yeah. and he gives us the method to find victory in Jesus on a daily, moment by moment.
Yeah.
Thing. And I also want to say, from personal experience, I haven't had to deal with worry, really, but one time where it cropped up was when I was diagnosed with the lump and I had a biopsy, and I asked people in my Bible study to pray for me, and after that, we still didn't know the results, and it was the words that came from my peers that brought the worry to me, and it just really drew me down. And I had never, like, I hadn't been thinking that way beforehand. And so it's a caution for all of us when people share things with us, like, how we respond
yeah.
is so important and like affects people.
Yeah.
And so yeah, let's respond like Christ.
Yeah,
so.
And yeah, be very aware of what path. Again, it's not necessarily the friend or the peer doing it on purpose, but be aware of what path the enemy is trying to draw you down. It's like, no, I'm not going to go down that path because Christ isn't down that path. I just want to, we're running out of time and there is a group after us, but I just want to say, again, I want to emphasize, we seek by choice. We seek in the way we choose. We choose self-control. We choose peace. We choose holiness. We choose love. We seek God by choosing joy. But eventually, that the characteristic that we see is in God will become who we are, and just a part of us, and we don't need to remind ourselves anymore to be self-controlled. We don't need to remind ourselves because we have found him. Now, the question might be, should we be disciplined and love, for instance? Absolutely. Like, 'cause that's how we seek. And here's the thing, you won't find if you don't seek. And so it's not a second-class citizen type of scenario. Oh, I'm still in the seeking phase. No, that's a great phase. Praise God, you're doing well. Seek, keep seeking, because that's the only way you find. If you stop seeking, you won't find. So you keep making the good choices. You keep choosing God. You keep bringing things to him. You keep laying it at his feet. You keep watching your tongue. You keep all these things. You choose, 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 and then you will find. You choose to walk out what you know is good, what you know is right, what you know is God's character, and you will find. We will be changed. You have been changed already. Everyone in this room can give testimony to how they've been changed, and he will continue to change us from glory to glory, into his likeness, into his likeness, into his likeness. And things that are a struggle today, oh, I'm struggling to be joy-filled. You know, I'm just struggling. You know what? A year from now, 2 years from now, it won't be a struggle for you. Maybe it's longer, maybe it's shorter. But you keep on that path. It's like, yep, it's someone asking. We've had this before, right? Where we're at our peach stand, or my in-law's peach stand there, and someone buys peaches. And how do you get to Old Town Niagara on the Lake? Well, you go down to the lights, Gills, you take a right, and then you just keep going. And if you keep going, you'll hit Niagara on the Lake. You'll hit Old Town. And there'll be a golf course in front of you, which is absolutely of the Lord, right? But you'll be in Old Town. You just keep going. Are you sure? Yep, you just keep going. I guarantee you. Sometimes traffic will be heavy, but you just keep going. There's more and more traffic lights, but you just keep going. You got to watch out for bikers, but you just keep going. And you will hit Old Town. You just keep going down these paths, you will find him. You will, I guarantee you. You keep going down that path of love, you will find Jesus. You will find him. You keep going down that path of joy, you will find him. You keep going down that path of self-control, you will find him. Self-discipline, you will find him. I guarantee it. Why? Because he guarantees it. Okay? Okay, any questions? We've got like maybe 5 minutes here before we got to start packing up. Because, yeah, we were told specifically that there's a party in here afterwards. All right. I'm going to pray for us then. So, Lord, again, I thank you that every promise is yes and amen in you. You are the answer to all of our questions. You are the answer to all of our hopes and our dreams. You are the way and the truth and the life. Those verses, those words from your mouth, Jesus, make more sense to me now than they ever have before. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. You are the healing. You are the joy. You are the peace. And I worship you, Lord. I praise you. And we will keep seeking you, even as George made that promise to Jesse of we will always be home, and we will keep seeking you, and we will grow. We make that promise to you, Lord. We will keep seeking. We thank you for where we have found you already. We thank you for all the changes that you've brought in our life already, and we look forward to more being changed into your glory. And I just feel led also to pray for the group coming in here after us. I pray a blessing on them. Not sure what kind of party they're having. If it's a holy party, I pray just that blessing of joy and laughter. If it's something unholy, I pray that they would find you and that your spirit would bring conviction if there's unholiness. But either way, I pray that your presence would be known in this place and that your fragrance would be here for the groups coming after us. We just bless this place, bless this community center, bless the workers. Yeah, we love you, Lord. In your name, amen. Amen. God bless.